that whether we are on track in terms of getting to the final, which is just in 2 days' time. So I'm going to hand over. DG Starfield will take us through the non-financial performance, and the CFO will then take us through the financial performance.
I do hope you will find the presentation in order. What we have captured at sundown here is two presentations. The one is dealing with the graph, the table, so that at a glance you can see what the performance needs are the departments in terms of quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three, and in cumulative. And in second, you will find a much better fact dealing with the narrative, which gives you the variance of the explanation for the variance, which it has been, we haven't achieved target or we overachieved, and what the intervention is if there has been an overachievement. You'll find two presentations that we made there. In the future, what we hope to do is amalgamate the two papers in one document. That we challenge for the state and the capital that we have in the presentation. I do hope that will work. Okay. I won't spend much time on the first few slides, but this is our normal presentation that we do to the committee in terms of the quarterly performance of the department, in terms of its as we presented here. And then just in terms of highlighting our programs, we've got five programs, program one is administration, two is the geospatial and pedagogical services, three is visual development, four is execution, and five is we will follow the presentation in that order. In the beginning, we'll talk basically about go to the first bullet on the slide, the area of balance now, because it's what we call all familiar with the mandate of the department, the vision of mission, in terms of our modus operandi that we're in varying confirmation, because many of the in terms of what we do in the department, the rules kind of confirmation, the institutional level, and the level of the relationship of all our stakeholders that we engage in both at national level and at provincial level and at district level. And then we go into the security management system which we adopted. Also should be familiar with it, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. And as indicated, our vision and our mission is familiar to everybody, and our strategic goals are familiar to everybody. And then we go to our strategic objective indicators. We like to pre-end all our presentations with this information so that persons who are new to our audience become familiar with it. Just in terms of the performance, our overall department performance for quarter two, we achieved 7% of our client chain of the presentation. Programs and staff tracking the performance of the individual programs and components. we busy developing systems so that we can go right down to district level to actually track the performance per project. But for APP purposes, we keep it as a project level program. If we go into the performance comparisons that are indicated per program on slide 13, you'll see in terms of program 1, the actual target was supposed to be 100% and we keep at 0%. This is the target we achieved. So as we go through the thing, you'll see quarter 1 we didn't achieve in terms of program 1, quarter 2 we achieved 100%, and in quarter 3 we achieved 0%. So in terms of program 1, and I think just for a reminder, within quarter 1 you have administration at the Ministry of Strategic Office, you have my component support, you have the CFO's office internal audit, all those functions are brought in program 1. There's one indicator for HP, and that has got to do with the internal audit. That we're going to see from later on about that. Program 2, you'll see quarter 1, 60% of the target is achieved. In quarter 2, they achieve 60%, and then in quarter 3, they achieve 100% of the target. In program 3, which is the rural infrastructure development component, 30% of the target in the ATP was achieved in quarter 1, 71% of the achieved in quarter 2, and in quarter 3, we were achieved in quarter 2. Program 4, in which we have execution, my colleague in the development team, 67% of the chief quarter 1, 0% in quarter 2, and 100% in quarter 3. Then we go into LRP, quarter 1, 43%, quarter 2, 100%, and quarter 3, 71%. LPA, which consists of two components, which would be your data center side and your property management side. The quarter 1 was 100%, quarter 2 was 67% and 100%, and then in terms of program 5 collectively, LRB and RPA part. And then in terms of collectively for program 5, 60% of target achieved, 90% of them in 42, and 80% of them in 43. Year on year, when you do the comparison, you'll see the average one is when you track our performance over on slide 14. Over the last 4 years, when you track our data that we have in our position, this is what you say, you'll see for 42, we average 48% performance over the last couple of years. In terms of this particular financial year that we're working in, our actual performance was actually 70% of the time that we held out. Because there has been an improvement in the performance of the bottom. So this is the, once you've got all the data, the database and data sets, you can put it out and do a comparative analysis. For quarter 3, you'll see average is 38% and you're 39% for quarter 3 performance. It's a big increase. You're trying to go to the best thing is if you hit 100% of our target. But we're not there yet. And certainly that's what I've seen before with the information. Okay. Overall sort of program performance summary in terms of our overall performance. The quarter 2 of the department achieved 70% against the quarter 2 target, and cumulatively it was 62% of the APR target that was set. And then we go to quarter 3. 62% of the target set in that particular year, you know, that's how they platform to end of that thing, and 81% of the cumulative. So basically saying in the previous one. If we place it into the various programs, if you go into that thing, administration, we were 100% of 42, 0% for quarter 3. If you go to geospatial and cadastral services, you'll see I'm in columns, the last three columns. Yellow and green. 60% in quarter 2 and 100% in quarter 3. When we go to rural development, 71% in quarter 2, 0% in quarter 3. When we go to restitution, 0% in quarter 2, 100% in quarter 3. Land redistribution and development, 100% in quarter 2, 71% in quarter 3. and land tenure notification, 67% positive, and 100% being positive. That gives you the overall total score and the objective time. So in the next few slides, we basically are going to go into the detail of the results. And this is where the second national report comes in as we're going to request it to help you. The second one is just the old one that we normally present to the presentation. So you're on page 3 of that presentation. You're going to be together with slides as we go to page 70. And you're going to look at the program by administration with the benefit of EHOP budget in the cases in 38. You'll see that in quarter 2 and quarter 3, we hit a target of 95% of eligible for pay in the 30-day period. In quarter 3, there was a slight decline, and that's what we're going to include here, which was 93% of the invoices paid within the 30-day period. So it's quite important now, if you go for the variance estimation, it's quite important for not in line with your contract orders, invoice 5%, and invoice are not signed for payment by the validated official. And what we're busy doing with now, and we're trying to get that into full operation, is to ensure that our invoice tracking system is become fully internet in the department. So that for all of us at senior management, that we're able to get the budget to where invoices actually tracked into the department. So that means any invoices that come into the department will be captured onto the software's invoice tracking system, and it will actually be checking our support quite regularly to say where they actually are and what they need. When we go into the overall performance and then we take it, just then we spend time, and that would be program 1. If we go into program 2, which is the geospatial international services, so you have the these offices, you have the surveyor general, and you have the special components, special plan systems, plumb components, they're all in program 2. When it comes to the various indicators in there, and the reasons that we give, the other document, the analysis report, the number of district, the rural development plan that we implemented, we got completed. We'll see 41, we did complete the well, but the completion of the rural development plan. 42 is the good improvement, 13 of those, and 43, 15. Of the 15 that were supposed to be completed, they completed 14. You'll see that in the report there as well, which provinces were on the 2 and 43. So they're on track in terms of completing the machining part for the financial year. We have the number of deeds and documents that are actually registered. You'll see the numbers there in terms of the targets that have been set. And as you'll know, it's quite difficult to set the target because it's on historical performance. And it's dependent on external factors such as the development of the economy, people buying properties and stuff like that. So you'll see that in quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, they basically almost get, they're in the 90s, over 95% of the target they predicted or projected they would be achieving. In terms of cumulatively though, we seem to be lagging a little bit behind. Not because of any external factors we have the same, but because there's been some problems with computer systems and also with the availability of your conveyances to place any large documents when it comes to these offices. And so they're quick interventions in taking two offices in particular, the one was Cape Town office and the other one was the Johannesburg office. If you go to the percentage of deeds made available within 7 days from lodgement, quarter 1 not so well, quarter 2 wasn't so well, and this is where the IT systems played quite a big part, and quarter 3 did mean an improvement where they hit the 90% of achievement rate. We go to the number of maps of the national map, which is produced and achieved. Again, that part was achieved cumulatively. They were not on track for the entire 80 hours. If I remember, because I told them to clarify the upfront, but it's your annual performance report. On the document, and you'll see that we're quite close to achieving, we were quite close to achieving the target that we set in terms of the A. Then we then we go through the average number of working days taken for purposes of each organizing sections and plans. In terms of the target that has been set for the person making the budget for 14 days, averaging across the country for 13 days to make those items available. The one positive thing, the not positive, is also quite good to see that in some of the provinces and some of the offices that are able to make these available in 7 days, depending on the volume they have. So as we track it on a monthly basis in the information company, there are some offices across the country in 6.7 days, 7.2 days, something like that. When we go to the average performance in terms of this particular program, we see they achieve 100% and 91% of quarter 3 and quarter 4 respectively. Program 3, which is rural development in progress. Your number of infrastructure projects facilitated, this is where you reflect our AP&T, the socio-economic projects. In terms of quarter 1, they did quite well, 59, that's what they achieved in terms of, again, target of 55. Quarter 2, you will see a similar performance in terms of that, but in terms of quarter 3, they've been a drop in terms of where the structure process were facilitated. Cumulatively, you'll see they are ahead of target in terms of the indicator, for quarters 1, quarters 2, and 3, but when you get against the ATR, the performance of quarter 3 is actually pretty down. And the reason that given is in your client in adoption, but it's about number of agri-park infrastructure projects that we've facilitated. The quarter 1, you'll see that we did not achieve, quarter 2 we did, and quarter 3 we did not achieve. Here, the issue with regard to this about the availability of service providers and contractors to get them on the time becomes a problem, both for internal and external factors. Internal factors about the supply chain management and the procurement process, external, because you do have a problem with the service providers. And some occasions we have to actually determine the contract and stop the patch to get other service providers on board. So that was the red flag in the implementation of the learning launch. They have placed quite a bit of intervention in place, so it worked quite closely with the client and managing system to ensure more issues when it comes to the agricultural program. When it comes to the number of rural agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 of agricultural enterprises, you'll see that we are on track with achieving that particular indicator aspect. Quarter 3 performance was a bit slowed down, and again, the reason in terms of quarter 3 performance across all the programs is that you had 2 months in quarter 3 in which you had developed, and it was of the month of December and the first 2 weeks in January are very problematic months in terms of people and service providers and closing and not actually. The number of rural non-agricultural enterprises reported in the 44 power register, you'll see that they did not achieve target in the touch short, not actually achieving the target. The reason being here was that during December, as you heard from some project service providers were not on site, but they had been brought on site when it came to the month of December. Internally, again, the problem was the issue of aligning the demand management plan to our supply chain management plan. There have been quite intense discussions with us with the particular program and interventions that have been put in place so that we make sure that they actually achieve the targets. We go to number of skill development opportunities provided in rural development initiatives. You'll see that again, they were stuck in terms of target, and this is because an oversight was the dedication of service providers that do the actual training. These service providers that improvement in the quality of the education that we're doing at the time. And so we have as a principle in the department to not utilize those providers who are not affiliated with the district in the first place. So that has been rectified hopefully in 42 towards the end of 43, and then 44 in progress. When it comes to the number of youth recruited to the MyStep program, this was the oversight in terms of 43, we were projected for 910, and we see that no young people were recruited. Both that poor planning, but again, oversight on our part, because in terms of policy documents, we recruit twice a year to the MyStep program. And we don't recruit into the program frequently, but in 44. So we recruit in 42. And you'll see that when we come to the end of four figures of that report, that the 910 will be available. So this was just an oversight in terms of and not relying on policy documents for our actual planning, which does not make provision of the recruit being automated. Then program C, the number of jobs created in rural development initiatives. In terms of the cumulative theme, we have overachieved. Quarter three, there's been a flat and a quarter of not pushing in terms of that because they have already achieved the target in quarter one and quarter two. And we're on track to achieve the full target that has been set for the financial year. Again, north of this quarter three and 56% of the cumulative targets have been achieved. When we go to program four, execution, the number of land claims that were actually settled. Quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, not looking so great. In terms of that, we got the number of phase projects that were approved. Again, quarter 1 they achieved, quarter 2 they did not achieve, and in terms of quarter 3 they did achieve. When we go to program 4, the number of phase projects are likely to be researched. The quarter 1 part achieved, quarter 2 that was partially achieved in quarter 3, they overachieved the target that has been set. Cumulatively, in terms of quarter 1, quarter 2, 3, we'll see that they will be lagging a little bit behind. And if you project that going forward, they will be expected not to be actually achieving their target. Again, the information used by the control institute is that intervention so that they actually make up and achieve their target. So that they can actually report here at the next report that they have achieved. We hope that it has been done. So basically what I've said when I went to the site is to see that they're not going to track any cumulative targets. We go to program 5, which is land support. The number of entries that have been applied, 41 started off as partially achieved, 42 they overachieved, and 43 they also overachieved. So the vectors that have been applied, slightly behind, and it's projected that they're overachieved, well, not projected, but they have already overachieved the target for the year, essentially in the quarter three. When we go to the number of entries allocated to the rural health department, the similar picture. Where the target achieved for the year has already been overachieved. When we go to number of vectors allocated to farms rather than labor centers, you'll see that in terms of 42 we've got 46% on, 43 there was a bit of a slowing down in terms of not achieving the target that was projected to achieve the target for the year. When we look at the cumulative for 41, 42, 43, they did achieve the full target. For those three quarters, albeit not over the quarters that they have actually indicated. When we go to the platform that we identify as integration training of our young people, cumulatively for quarters 1 to 3, we achieve the target. But in terms of our form of support, it seems as if we might be a bit flattened, not flattened, but might not achieve. And the intervention has to be put in place by the government controllers before that. We go to number of farmers under the research and development program. Again, quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, we did not number of farms paying for the recapitalization development program. While it is not a cheap for one part of the system, it is really cheap and cost-effective. And then for the people who can make part of it, it will be projected in terms of performance that they would not achieve part of it. I'm definitely interested in the prevention of the situation. When we go to number of jobs created to manage on projects through the RETA project, we again see that the cheap part of it is difficult to achieve.
Thank you. approve the transfer to Institute, that will be Anna, who will not trust. Okay, in the literature and even in the information, then that will be the presentation. The one restitution is the financial compensation in the domain of institution or institution to submit. And the other development for the rural infrastructure development and industry, the enterprise development. The first step is the development to the national program. That is the draft on the economic classification, on how the money was spent on economic classification. You will see that the biggest expenditure was on the household, which is just below 65 billion, or 49% of the budget, followed by the transfers that we made to our entities, ANA and Ibonema Trust, which is just below 1.5 billion, 45.9%, which is 23% about, just about 2 million, right? The compensation is 22.2%, about 1.5 million. That explains what I'm saying. You would have seen that the COD is at 1.5 billion. That's because at the end of the panel they should pay bonuses that should finish the expenditure on the COD. Food and services was just about 1 billion. Mainly there is the issues that have to do with the contractual obligations that we have, such as our obligations. Our office accommodation, rental, phone licenses, renewal, legal, travel, infrastructure, these are the things that support the police legal mandate. So when we are delivered, these are the first costs that we had. The expenditure of transfer and subsidies was just 3.6 billion, which was mainly on the household, which was 2.6 billion, and transfer to the institute as well. Expenditure of payment for digital assets was mainly based on that of the fire for restitution where we still submitted many of the information we are allocating each year for the normal computer hardware and administrative equipment. On other families, we've got the budget of 1.5 billion, we spent 1.2 billion. Net acquisition was received at 101%, we spent more than, at the end of December, we spent more than the budget, which was 666 million. We kept, we are sitting at 46%, we have spent 166 million of the 741. The remaining was 91%, we have spent 17.1 million, 18.7 million. And the SRR is present in 75 project, we have transferred 381 million of the 500 million budget. We've got two graphs then. One is the budget allocation, how we have split it between the things that we needed to do under ANA. But 1% we have allocated to spend on them, 1% is ANA, 1% is about 6%. We have commitment made in for the drought that we in prior years. And in terms of the spending and then acquisition, we have spent the whole 1% that we have allocated. And the research we have seen 16%, 36% spending is 1%. Let us ask 76% and that is 42%. Now if you look down there we've got quarter three we have grown 627 million. And the expenditure was 666 million, so we have already overspent. And in terms of the achievements, we've got 101% achieved, and 5.68%, we did keep more than 90% because we were catching up for the previous quarters that we were underspent. So cumulatively, 79% did, 20% cumulative. 4 seconds, scouting and 1 second, 8 seconds and 3 seconds, and 2 seconds, and 2 seconds, and 8 seconds, 4 seconds, 90 seconds. This is only an estimation. What we try to expect versus what we expect. In terms of the hectares, the problem. The green is the achieved, the red is not the achieved. What we have not been able to achieve is in different provinces, and what we are targeting will be eating on the blue. You see that Western Cape, we have targeted for achieved 75 hectares, we managed to acquire 110 hectares. Northwest, we wanted to acquire 4,956 hectares. We have overachieved, we bought 6,724 hectares. And Northwest Cape, we wanted to buy 2,759 hectares. We bought 190,792 hectares. We have overachieved. In Mpumalanga, we did not achieve. In Limpopo, we did not achieve. In KZN, we overachieved. 1,289 versus 1,698. Counting, which not achieved. In 3 states, we also did not achieve. And in 8 states, we also achieved. This is just a comparison of what we did with money. And that we have allocated, because we see that we have overachieved on the same, because also what we need to make this to be said. So, our challenge. In terms of the capitalization, you were saying that this capitalization was taking up to 6% in terms of spending. Likewise, on the non-financial performance, you can see that they are also below. It is just other provinces that you are counting that overachieved and not worth. In Northern Cape, we have 15%, and in Mpumalanga, we have 40% direct for trade to achieve and target. And the money also did not go for the poor region, you see the key. Yes, the number of funds that we have digitalized with the money that we have shown as projected second spend, and you see that we target is the blue and that brown is the actual. Western Cape is not a target that we achieved. Northwest was behind the target. Northern Cape is at the target. Mpumalanga is similar. Limpopo is also behind target. KZN behind target. Housing achieved and Free State achieved. And Eastern Cape is behind target. So we were still trying to study the regions. We have both financial and non-financial. And planning, it was most of the provinces that have overachieved. And similar with the money we spent, 22.1 million to 80 million for this year. On this, on the summary, we managed to collect 42.9 million in terms of revenue, which represents 60% versus the target of 767.9 million annual projected revenue. The collection between quarter 1 and quarter 2 increased the average growth of 5.4% and declined in quarter 3. There was activity in the property market. The revenue collected, that is after we have the revenue that we have collected. When we compare it to the expenses, because we did, it's not a matter of spending, it's a matter of having a profitable and sustainable entity, because they are self-managed and profitable. We normally compare their revenue versus the expenditure. You can see that revenue expenditures 97% of the revenue that we collected, including the ones positive balance of 12.8 million, that is for quarter 3. If we were to compare the spending on implementation of this policy, which is 340.1 million, 3% of the annual projection, this is just the risk that you are facing within the GIP, and the high interest rate is affecting this specifically the property market. And this results in increased development across the property and inflation which affects the revenue of the entity. This is just a trend. They are trying to compare between revenue, salaries, and the services and assets. You see that revenue at least is higher than all of them, meaning that for now we have a sustainable entity. But you can see that it's starting to decline and become quarter than it's now catching up with the salaries and the goods and services. Assets, they have not invested much. Third quarter financial performance, you can see that we are at 50.18%, and that is the negative number now affecting the financial performance of the entity. Both cumulatively and pretty well. Salaries sitting at 87%, within services at 30%, and 1% on assets in 18%. Cumulatively, revenue. The collections, the H1 was sitting at just mid 200%, but you see that within collections, the H1 was 60%. The blue would have been the target, and this brown color is where we are sitting. 65% in salaries, and 39% in services and assets at 79%. And I will not put this slide into the entity and the DDG report is up for the rest of the slide. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Commission to the revolution, but now the
the Office of the Regional Health Standards Regulation, and then once they give us the report, we then have to communicate to the landowners. And one issue also has come up saying that some of the landowners are refusing the values that have been given by the DG, but that is an issue between ourselves and the DG, but that those are some of the challenges. Secondly, the other issue was, as you are aware, Chair, we had used external service providers for research so that we try and fast track our research. And what we identified was that we needed to manage the research service providers much closer than we were, because some of the research reports that was coming from service providers was not what we had anticipated, and sometimes even the quality of the work that we had been doing. As a result, we put in an intervention strategy where we appointed a research champion, which is headed by the Chief Director, where we actually held a research summit where we actually went province by province to actually identify what were the issues and the problems with service providers and how we were going to manage that. And we also seconded a project manager who was going to focus on the National Office of Climate Management. That's one big problem that we have come across. But now that we've had the intervention work, that seems to be moving. And from our side, looking at where we are now in terms of the budget as well as our APP, we anticipate that we will meet both our APP and our financial expectations.
Probably by the time the department's response will be out of the room, but I will still ask the department to please respond to my question, because fortunately this two processes are being recorded, so I do take time to check on responses to my question if I happen to let the committee before it gets finished. Thanks, Christine. From my personal perspective, I very much welcome this new approach to reporting. This isolated quarter by quarter reporting, you know, I don't think it will help us that much. I think the cumulative effects help us to see overall what has happened, you know, up to the time of the reporting. So I thought I would make that point, you know. Hence my question based on the report on page 15, assuming that I understand everything that's contained there. 56% cumulative on rural development and 65% cumulative achievement on restitution. Do you think you'll be able to do justice to the overall, you know, plan for the year, or target for the year, when you're still resting there at this point in time? And on page 25, this is the heartbeat of the department, really, world development, as it were. That together with restitution. Your performance on agriculture, the presenter did indicate verbally that this is due internally to procurement problems. But I do recall that a year ago, we were sitting here and still the department indicated that it was experiencing internal problems when it comes to procurement. That's the reason that was given for low expenditure at that time. I can't remember whether it was an annual report or a given quarter report, but this is not the first time that we come across a report that says, but this is the reason for underperformance, so to speak, being problems, you know, relating to procurement. How does the department finally hope to overcome this problem? Because when we approve budget, when we support budget, the assumption on our part as MPs is that you will be able to handle it. You have got the internal capacity to handle the budget. Otherwise, this budget might as well go to another government department if you have got ongoing procurement problems. I can understand with external factors, but when it comes to internal problems, there should be a solution is supposed to be found. And on page 26, again, this report what alignment of the systems and planning is given as a reason for poor performance. Honourable Minister, we cannot sit here with an ongoing internal problem. When people get appointed, the assumption is that they've got the internal capacity, you know, wherever they might have gotten it. When appointments are made, that's the assumption that we live with, that the people that occupy those posts have got capacity to plan. And if national government cannot be effective enough when it comes to planning, then who do we expect to? We can see the mess of the municipality, understanding as we do that 30% of their councillors in the previous administration could have their way or right. But we don't expect people who will not be able to align plans at national level strongly, even if we're very ready to compromise. So let's get the problem sorted out. Restitution, page 31. Remember that this is the only government department in the whole country that has got this responsibility. And this is a serious political matter. Now, I'm saying this not against the performance, but against the fact that ahead of much spoken about expropriation without compensation, how do you sit and be comfortable with a budget of only 27%? Ahead of potential expropriation, whilst we're still talking compensation for land. How do you propose going around this, Minister? Let's say this coming financial year, we're still sitting with a land acquisition that is going to be budgeted for. How do you propose getting around this in order to address this fundamental and much spoken about problem of poor land ownership by the majority of South Africans? Page 35. This is commendable. That's all I have to say. Now, page 59, besides the increase in interest rates that is given there in that chapter as a reason for the low uptake of properties, slowing down of the property market, the only reason they have given us is the fact that the interest rates have been upped. I'm aware of that. But what other reason that you can do any research to find out that there are any other factors that have affected, that have impacted on the uptake, of properties? Interest rates cannot be the only one. And if you did your research, which price bracket are we talking about here, which has been mostly affected, by the interest rate increase? Take the rental market, for instance. A recent report reveals that rentals upwards of 10,000-11,000 were very, very difficult to handle. But below that 7,000-3,000, they said that's the market that is still very, very appetizing to in the rental market. And coming from that perspective, when I want to know which price bracket was negatively affected by the increase in interest rates. And that is my take for the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Presenter.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I wish to welcome the very comprehensive presentation to you? Actually, one to one's hard to put through the good work that you've done, Chair. Especially when we look at the land reform compared to the 30-40 targets have been met, achieved. It was very, very encouraging achieved. Of the two targets that haven't been met, surely I want to understand what the reasons were for not being able to to meet the judges. So one is especially heartened by the actors' allocated small funds to the judges. The actors of Randy Randy Five, the recap, the Colgan J. Fuller, seriously warning the perspective. Because it has, Honorable Minister, an impact. It can give an emerging farmer access to land. Some people are not there with an institutional support, financial support, then it's not going to help much. So the whole issue of recovery cap is very much important for the chair. Chair is the... I'm just trying to look for it now. There's a breakdown in terms of farms allocated for incubation, deep incubation again. Has been identified as one of the key vulnerable groups in our society. Now, I do know that this generally includes women and persons with disability. But, Honourable Minister, it would be actually very good if at some point in time you can break it down. If we have a target set for women and a target set for persons with disability, and not have this all-inclusive one of youth, like I say, because of women and people with disability get lost in that characterization. I'm just not able to see and to pick it up if they have been largely lost, like I say. I think that's my piece, which I think.
I think that since I just concluded the presentation, but just a quick one question about the head court of the head 52% compared to the last year, some of the world was living at the performance. And I'm content that we have the there is zero performance in that administration, and there's been zero performance in some of our programs, and there are no reasons given to the non-performance in that program. I'd like more information in the process that we have to why we do not perform on this.
Thank you very much. I'm covered by the questions not answered by my colleagues. I just wanted to make one small comment on the format and really encourage Acting DG to refer to the format of the ITV, which in your attendance in the morning I did allude to is having been standard in terms of the treasury format. Mr. Safi, going further, Chair, did allude to the fact that you now are dealing with the draft card and you're looking at the narrative and going forward you'll be looking at magic. That's exactly what you have been asking for. So thank you. There seems to be and awaken to what you would like to see happen, so that meaningful engagement can only start from there. Otherwise, narratives that are not supported by graphical evidence or anything, they become very difficult to engage with, or vice versa. So, in the manner in which you're proceeding, do you think that it should be? So, on finances, there's a general question as to whether, how do we deal it's a similar question like to the ITP LLM, a situation where, as we speak now, this week, it's the end of the financial year by 5 years. So, and therefore, what are the tools where there has been a lack of low spending due to, like has been explained, supply chain processes and so forth. So how shall we be able to save that budget? I don't want to comment about the informal session where it was like rollover and all around possible and so forth and so forth. Nor do I wish to preempt the fourth quarter report. But I am just ordinarily worried, Chair. And again, a comment, Chair, to the Commission. We can only wish that the issue about the Deputy Chief Land Claims Commissioner is resolved soon. Perhaps a question, maybe just a comment. Insofar as getting that commission fully capacitated, insofar as that only, I'm not privy to it, but insofar as getting it ready all the time so that the CSPC is able to support. I thank you, Chair.
if you didn't do that, after the implementation of the policy, that we had that with the institution, the research cost would be considered. But if we are doing challenges till now, means that almost we have problems. Understanding what the education said by Honorable Mugenda, how can we understand the on the track? Why the need out there is really demand is really high. As Honorable Mugenda has indicated, you can't give people land and fail to provide a post settlement support. What do you expect from that particular? Because when talking of land, we're not talking just of numbers. You know, you must look at the production, and changing, you know, the life of that particular person. That land gives him that certain dignity, a certain status. Because numbers, how many hectares, even if you can give a person 1 hectare, but if a person can live, can be able to survive with that 1 hectare, you know, such as bread on the table, I think it will have a positive impact. We had public hearings on the recap. We had what people were saying. I think there was lots of application. I remember one day I was saying, why can't you draft one page? You just indicate your name, the farm, where you are, what is it that you need. For people just to have access to, not this 10 pages terminology, this is where, you know, people don't understand it. At the end of the day, Satamala is a weak bank. Because people will be able to write the English to respond to the questions. Are those who have got money? And are those who are learning? We're talking about people who are not learning, people who are in rural areas, previously disadvantaged people. Then we need to come up with a strategy of how best can those people access the services that we intend to offer to them. But if we're just coming with 10 pages, 13 pages, English words, you know, people don't understand. What is our intention? I've just asked one minister what MEC in the province. What do you mean? I saw an advert telling only cases. Then they're saying you must have the name, you must have what. You know, our programs A2 are intended to assist the previously disadvantaged. But when coming to implementation, then how are they going to access those services? Because Australia, the English, let's English set aside, it's not about the English. We can't allow a situation with people to care to handle rural development. Only Ghana, I want to talk about this land in the Shala Kona and where I was. I'm not going to learn in Bonama the Pompey. I don't pump in Kamamuta in a city just to corner a drop of water. Finally, the Lash is cool for Ham, Yoko Kasamwe, Ubuye now. Then this is Shala Nima. They understand the rural development.
So, the first one was around
We currently have 56% on rural development and 65% cumulatively on restitution. I think CLPD will also talk to that. That as we sit right now, Chair, in terms of where we are on performance of the programs, we are likely to get close to the 100%. So we have caught up the catch-up plan on the Nduni that you speak of. When we were not achieving by the third quarter, we had put that into full swing and we had monitored it to where we are right now. So non-financial performance under rural development, we should be able to achieve except for one of the targets in terms of skills, where they will fall short as it appears at this moment in time. The rest of their targets, including the agri-parks one, they have been able to pick up. I think as I answer that one, I'll then talk to the next one that he also raised in terms of the challenges on the agri-parks one. I think indeed we did have certain procurement challenges around the capacity across the country. Remember, we were driving a program working with municipalities and with our district and provincial offices, and many of these were large infrastructure type projects that had to go in terms of the agri-hub and the farmer production support unit. But we have been able, those teams working very closely with the CFO have been able to get those projects out and on the ground. So they will be able to achieve that target in this quarter. I think it now is what we have done to ensure that we have improved planning and processing in the new year so that the projects have started a little bit earlier. We've had several engagements with the district municipalities and local municipalities in terms of identification of the projects. In terms of the AgriParks program, and those are the projects now that are informing the plan for this year. As late as this week, we have already tabled the project for the new financial year. So we are well on track then to be able to ensure we improve our planning processes, and it does not bottleneck the system in terms of procurement. Because I think the one thing we need to know is that if you procure a project for R1 million, or you procure a project for R20 million, the processes you follow in terms of SDM are exactly the same. And that often then you have to make sure that sufficient timing is taken into account. So we do take the thing in terms of the capacity problems, etc., and we have been addressing those with supply chain management as well as the team in the relevant branches to ensure that they improve their planning process. I think Honourable Sitnani also, Kirtani also raised the issue of the NARISEC, and maybe I want to clarify the issue that DDG Southgate was raising. NARISEC will achieve the intake, the recruitment will be achieved for the year. The issue was that they had put in a figure in the third quarter which should not have gone into the third quarter. So that was an error in the table. It should have been put in at the second quarter and the fourth quarter only. So they will overachieve. As of now, in January, February, they've already recruited the full number of NARISEC to add to the one two that have already been recruited. And that, I think, was what we were talking about in terms of just putting it in the wrong quarter instead of the fourth quarter. So that was just an error in the taking. But it is not around whether or not they will. We recruit in the second and fourth quarter because we align to the program that we have, the partnership that we have with the defense. Remember, because we have to make sure we align, so because defense takes in their own persons besides NARISEC. So we can only go into their bases at certain times of the year because we utilize CISA as well as Saldana working together with the defense force for our training. So I think on that one, that's the reason. CLPC will talk to the one in terms of the commission. In terms of the ones on the Honourable Mandela, the separation of targets and the noting, I think you're saying, yes, we are showing the youth incubation and perhaps it includes all the others. There is a priority grouping of people in terms of prioritized groups that should be targeted for land reform, and that includes women, people with disabilities. And we show that normally at a statistical level. And I think what we can do is always make that information available when we are reporting as well here, in terms of the breakdown of those particular priority groups, because that information is kept in terms of statistics that we report within the land reform program. So that is not a problem. In terms of the LEACAP program, I think we have had a challenge in several provinces across the country. And I think you are correct that this is one of the areas where a lot of work has to be done. If you're looking at some of our provinces, they are sitting at 30% and 30% in terms of the capitalization. Again, in terms of the catch-up plan, we had to work with each of those provinces very closely over this last quarter. One of the things that people from Replicard was also under which have done is really change the system to do exactly, Chair, that you are saying, that not to become too sophisticated around the issues of how we procure one in the business plan. We want to find a way that we procure all at once to save money for the state as well as for the farmer. So we want to do it through a bulk buying system, working together with National Assembly and together with RC contracts. We did not necessarily succeed the way we wanted to in those two quarters. So we've had to revert to how we normally are working with the farmers directly into the joint accounts of the farmers themselves. And that has been done. So by the end of this week, by the end of Friday, we would have achieved the recapitalization target. Again, though, we had to move some of that to provinces who were moving ahead. There are then those provinces who are still behind, which we will have to put in remedial action in terms of assisting them to get to where we want. So there was a twofold thing. One, we had to deal with issues of capacity, but two, we had to also deal with the strategic problem that we found in terms of the procurement for that assistance. And I think, Chair, we take the comment you made that we have to come with a much more simple way in terms of doing some of these things. We should, though, note that even as we move, we are working very closely now with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, as they also begin to take over full support to farmers in terms of this particular program. The one raised by Honorable Chamberlain, I think we'll be talking to deal with that. And the SCM one, I've touched on Honorable Ibuni's that he has raised, and what has been the tool that we are using now to improve our spending and ensure that we get to the 100% mark by the end of the financial year. The CFO will also talk to that. But I think, Chair, in terms of getting us to close to the 100% mark, we have been monitoring this regularly. We will, on the one that talks to the household expenditure, which is the expenditure that we use largely to deliver all our programs, the line item that we use to deliver our programs, we will come close to that 100% mark. We've ensured now that even when we were lagging in any programs, we have been able to pick up that slack, and then we will also then move in terms of some of the other programs that are there. Chair, in terms of your question, the 50-50, it is in the presentation. I think we may just be missing it because we didn't report for this quarter. It's on page 18 of this narrative document, where the target for the year was 18 in terms of the SRR. And up to now, we have already done 3, and the 15 then was to be completed by the end of this fourth quarter. Page 18 of this one, the narrative document, strengthening of farm. There's a number of farms with testing of their society. Okay? So at the end of the fourth quarter, we will report on that. We have had a number of projects already approved and that are in the process then of being transferred in terms of the SRR. The one household, one hectare program at the moment is currently sitting under the recapitalization and development program. In the new financial year, in the APT that we recently tabled, you will note we've lifted it up as an indicator on its own, and that's where we will be reporting. But what we can do when we come back in the fourth quarter reporting is just to give an indication of the cumulative figure that we have achieved there on one household, one hectare for the 2016-17 year, because it was not lifted up last year in the APT, but it is sitting underneath the cover. In terms of the land rights management facility, again, it is not reported here separately, but we can provide them that information. It is sitting then within land Kenya and administration component at the moment in terms of where they are accounting for. But we will provide information in terms of the land rights management facility. In terms of the overachievement in terms of hectares and the financial implications, CFO will also be able to talk to that. In terms of the COP and overspending, in terms of the COE and the overspending on COE, We won't have an overspending by the end of the financial year, but again, therefore, we're talking about that as well as the issue of the, together with the DG Southeast, issue of the payment of performance bonuses. In terms of the NALICEC and the TBET challenges, indeed, we also, as I've explained in the past as well, we also have a lot of problems around the classification. We have public engagements with the Department of Higher Education and Training in this regard, but we have been able to bring the backlog of certificates relatively down. We had at one stage last year a backlog of over 5,500 certificates still outstanding. And as we sit right now, we have just over 2,300 or so certificates. So we are working with teacher to teacher in terms of bringing this down. But we still have a backlog largely with the construction teacher at the moment. The underspending on RECAP, I think I've spoken to the performance issues of RECAP as well as the remedial actions that we have taken, as well as the chair's comments in terms of how we deal with that. And the understanding on rural development. Now, in terms of rural development, the chair will also note that the first item in terms of the socio-economic infrastructure, the ABMP, the river valley, cumulatively, they are ahead for the year in terms of those targeting. So they are ahead on that targeting. The reason they're showing zero is because in this quarter, they did not achieve. But cumulatively, on two of the targets, they are already ahead of for the year. The areas that they were still facing challenges on was then on the skills one, the jobs one, and enterprises and agriculture, which they will then, I mean, they will catch up and they will get them to the expenditure for the year. They will, though, show a slight under expenditure at the end of the financial year for what we see at this moment in time, but we hope that we will be able to move that by the time of the year.
On the competition, we are anticipating an under expenditure. The reason being, when we were doing the HR budget plan, although this year we had money, we had no money for the following MCA period to fund the appointment if we were to appoint. So we have money this year, but we don't have this effect looking at the ensuing year. We are at a deficit in terms of the warm bodies that we have and the budget that the Treasury has given us. And I think, and we spoke about the capacity. We really are struggling in terms of capacity because we don't have money to fund if we were to appoint people. And in the same breath, we are looking at a number of employees in the department. Most of them will not be able to appoint due to the anticipated deficit. And it's really that affects the performance of the department very negatively. If you look at supply chain management, I've lost quite a number of people that have not been able to replace. And if you look at provinces, once the people start to leave and I don't replace, it affects the performance. It also affects the service of lack of duplication of duties, because one person does the supply chain, does the finish, does the salary. So the impact of this one is too huge. It's immense. We cannot even begin to. And if you look at rural development, when we are doing the agriculture, there is no capacity at all. Yet there is no funding to do that. So it's bigger than what we can even begin to discuss here. We had money this year, and really we would have wanted to use it, but they have recent it, that's number one. So I can't even use it for anything. That's when they want it back. They don't want me to use it to do anything. And then they cut my goods and services. So even consultants, I can't bring them in. So in the environment within which we work, it's very difficult in terms of COE and the warm bodies and the capacity. We get given the money to do the service delivery. That they never cut. But then they take people to do the work. It's very difficult. So some of the things that you are asking here, which are with the performing the law, is because we are stretching the people. People work Saturday, Sunday, holiday, every day they work. And you can imagine if we implemented the number of people that are living out of this pressure, we know what we can be able to bring in. And also the budgets that have been cut, and we are left with the money to be finished with the budget when there's no human capacity to do it. So we will be taking back money. They don't want us to use it. They want their money back. So we'll be giving them back their money.
Okay.
So we need to get us back that.
What is it that they say that makes them flee? And is there something that we can do to keep those that we have now? Is this a, you know, because there are a lot of things that make people to be in institutions. It could be salaries, it could be the salary, the whole of the factor. It could be something else. It could even be that people don't establish it. The strategic objectives that we have. So that's why they decide to not do that. So why are you living like that where they're also fired?
Retention strategy.
The issue of when someone is arrested, it's a funded cost. I mean, the salary has been budgeted for a person. It doesn't work like that.
Maybe
the CRC will respond to honorable telling, but what we have been given is what we are doing, the EME. On the outer, yes. The home bodies are not, the money we are given is not equal to the home bodies that we have. They say, one, you make sure that when they leave, you don't replace them, or you retrench them, or you give them any packages. This is what Treasury told us in writing. So we are forced to reduce our structure in order to fit the budget. So there is no funded cost. If the CFO is released, they will somehow see what to do, if we can find some money somewhere to start. It will stay back.
Yeah, I think Chair, the thing is that remember that the headcounts have been set. Each and every time we are understaffed, you are not allowed, but
So we're in the committee, we don't understand. How many are you supposed to see in the department? So no one has to resign 100, yeah, but that's how you resign 100, it's still even lucky. You know? Azal which in Ibam and if he said in Nancy, the Prime Treasurer, we won't even see. Mama, what in the sea? Why you fit? Why are you not bringing it here? I think you have to bring it now by fire, by phone. It must be here.
New claims that are now booked. So
at this current point, we are not able to place one office. But the expectation is that we must work double the current. What's happening, which is what we say for the workers are working over the weekends, they are working, is actually true. But what we're now beginning to experience is that the officials are starting to say no now, because if the director of operations resigns in the Northwest province, tomorrow you can't do that. You have to find workers within to try and figure that out. And then even the question of acting becomes an issue, whether they can act and how long they can act in that condition. So it's a catch-22 for us, because we want to do the work, including, for example, with the issue of the research, where we want to finish the research. Because if you look at Operation Katisa, it says that by end of quarter one, we must take the report that says that we've done all of the research, and that's outstanding. So it's a serious problem, I think, where we are using the old stuff to also I suppose the appeal is that as the last time I had a discussion with the minister, I said, for me it's like for you, a privilege when you have a garden. You've got flowers that are born short and flowers that are born long. And when you take your scissors, you say, I'm cutting across. And your cutting across only affects the one at the top. Whereas in the family, you can never cook the food, I wouldn't love it. And I think that that's what we are experiencing, a situation where we just cut. But at the same time, if you listen to the discussion, it says, fast track land is going to be long. So, how do we do that?
Chair, I guess we've been enlightened. It goes back to your, I've got only 2 points here, but one goes back to your point here that perhaps these reporting sessions have not been very clinical, in especially program one. I come from a background where program one has always been unpacked to the latter, you know, in terms of the units, the workers, what's happening at HR, what's happening at school, and all the aspects and areas of sub-programs here of program one. I do know that perhaps at this level we do not really focus and dwell much with. Perhaps going forward it will necessitate for us to get closer to program one happening. But Chair, just as a spot check, if you like. Mr. Tamim Tonto has been deputy CSPC. Now he's now some other post in the Senate. Someone may have to answer me, maybe not the commission, because commission isn't then appointed. What tool was then used to get Mr. Tonto into the position in the department, given the constraints and the handicaps that you have in terms of the ability to fill in posts and the secular and whatnot, so that the holistic picture is also given about, yes, you can, but via his roots, you know, on the roots and R-O-U-T-E, yeah. So can someone answer, I never like specific questions generally, I like the overall orientation, but this one is just a spot check. How did it happen? Because it means then maybe the system has opened up certain avenues and mechanisms. Thank you.
said the other
I think it's due today. I have two problems. I don't know if something is wrong. What do we do? The parking place.
The issue is really sensitive and touchy. I really happen to know your counterpart, Dr. Cross, of course, who's chairing the portfolio committee on public administration, and some of the issues, so to speak, we can take up bilaterally with our counterpart in that portfolio committee. Likewise, the honorable minister can then also take up with the relevant ministry and the presidency on this. It does look like it's a complex one because then treasury was not for that. But I'm just saying, perhaps it can only be after we thoroughly engage with the program. I would agree with the emphasis by Chair earlier on. I think that stage was quite left when she was emphasizing the debate out there. Honourable Minister knows only too well, I think every other person in the room. The issue is about land now. Anyone, even someone knows nothing about politics, who starts in politics, land this, land that, there's been nothing done. So it means that all of us in the room have got to really convince and satisfy ourselves that we're doing our level best, and land transformation is at the topmost in terms of the pace, and so that there are no far-fetched and unreasonable calls. And I'm quite happy with the chairperson's call, especially CMCC on research, because some of the far-fetched calls are simply missing a simple point. Because you can do whatever you do, unless people begin to open up the space that as research, you know. But generally, everything else, IPT, not in the, but in the politics, and IPT is our honorable minister. Everyone minister talks about land. Simply, they know nothing, they think that at least they know about land. And it's such a scientific area of engagement, with lots of statutes, lots of professionals, services and so forth, and and professional jargon, conveyancing, surveys, and so on, specialization, you know. But people just think they know everything about land, and it's not that simple. I guess we've got to be responsive to the people out there who just start politicking by saying nothing, the land has not been returned, and they're disregarding everything else, and it just becomes an emotive issue, a matter of heart. So we'd like to encourage the department that we have got to be seen to do it. People will not say, for instance, a good observation, they will not say that the ANC endured the whole day in the committee engaging with the department. No other political party is here. No one will talk about it. They will come in and think they know everything. And asking the minister, it must be said that they were whatever, you know. So I'm just saying, Chair, perhaps this issue from technical really turn out to be outright political out there. And we're doing our level best to make sure that the people get land reform fast tracked as much as possible. But this constraint will have to be closely. Thank you.
There was a question on the implications of the excess overachievement from the land acquisition excess, and what are the implications on the finances. The implications on the finances are strong. What I did not speak about is where did we get that money. We financed that through the land for recap. We reduced the recap to fund the land acquisition. And the reason being, we have MTSF charges on hectares that are far below. So we still could justify why we moved some of the money to that side to try and, because we, recap, we were still having a whole lot of issues that needed to be resolved, because with the recap, most of those are tranches. And for you, for us to give you a second tranche, there are things that you need to prove to us. You need to bring us the proof of what you have done with the first money that we gave you. If you bought tranches, this means the receipts that you have used that money to buy the tranches. So because we still had those issues, and we had the MTSF charges that were suffering, we shifted some of that money to improve on the land acquisition so we can move towards the achievement of the HS, because the MTSS is finishing just now in 2019. So that's where we got the money for the overachievement of the land acquisition. We had already allegedly packaged transactions that we could just pay and get the HS. And we were doing that through the strategic land acquisition program, meaning that it was already land that was strategically located that we can buy and improve on the budget. And the impact on the deficit of GP, if you look at Chapter 19 of the Trader Regulations, we are not allowed to run a trading entity on a deficit. So hence you see that we have put brakes on the spending, so that we can match the spending with the revenue that we are generating. We have implemented cost-cutting measures on this, just to make sure that we are on par in terms of us not running into trouble. We, however, have got retention. We've been retaining surpluses for some years now that should the market not recover in time, we will still have something on the reserve that the trader has been approving of this year that could cover us for some time until we get to a position that would perhaps need the department to come in and help. But for now, they are fine. And this trading account is fine. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that the market will recover and then we'll be able. So there's two things. We've got the reserve, and we also have the cost-cutting measures that we have implemented to make sure that we do not have any challenge operate beyond the revenue that we are generating. December, we know that the third quarter has got up and down because people are on a mood for the vacation. So the activities are very low. Hence, you see that 18% deficit on this. We are now in the fourth quarter. We have not prepared the fourth quarter report, but we are not in the same position as we were in the third quarter. So things should improve. On the issue of what research was done on this for us to pick interest rate as the only factor that has affected the plummeting in the property market. We just picked that one. It's not to say that is the only reason. If the portfolio commission would want us to advise them on the other factors that are available, we all know that the economy is not only the South African economy, the world economy in general is not going well. But if the portfolio commission would want a comprehensive report on those factors, we can prepare that extended. We should just advise. Here, what I put was just those that are just the high level. We just pick the interest rate, which is just one factor of the main that are there that affect the unemployment rate. Many companies are closing down, people are leaving jobless. That does affect the professionals. So we can do the preparation of that report and send it with comprehensive, not just one factor at the future. Then we've got the slow spending due to supply chain problems. One of the reasons is what we were discussing now, that I've got a massive problem for people that are living with families that are not able to recruit because of the cut on the compensation of the union. But that impacts the whole of my ability to support the core function and making sure that if they need a shelter system now, if they want to be an infrastructure project, I'm able to support them with it. And that added to the Christmas within government. It's not easy. If I need to do a tender, there's a whole lot of things that need to be done before I can give the support that they want. On average, you need 67 days to issue a tender. That is if everything is well. If everything is well, it's 67 days. Now, when you expect that way, you want the capacity to do that. Now you are running almost 100 days just to have one tender issue. And in our environment, you've got infrastructure development, you've got land reform, you've got restitution, we need to do the tender for research, for valuation, for whatever we need. So if there is no capacity with all these programs that we run across the country, the problem becomes so yes, we do have bottlenecks in supply chain. One, because of the script that we need to follow through, we don't have the capacity. And it therefore impacts the rate at which the core can respond to service delivery requirements. I think I have responded to all that were raised for the bill. The reason we are not yet presenting the DG, the Valuer General is in the process of setting up. So their budget is sitting with land reform. So when I present land reform, because the work they do on behalf of restitution and land reform of valuation. So their performance is in effect included in the performance of land reform. and still satisfied that they have their own office set up, then we'll be able to separate their budget and give it to them.
Would that person have spoken from within his department because of the contact? person amended the minister. I'm not Mr. Bokatsu. I'm just reporting on the issue of research, if you allow me. I think most of us are aware of the challenges we are facing with the resources specifically to finalize the issue of research. When I say resources, I'm referring to resources both internally within the commission as well as externally. I think it's good for us to report today that we have broadened the number of researchers externally specifically to partner with us and work with us in finalizing research. This has been done after a number of attempts. We have, in provinces, done a number of reviews, not necessarily only to finalize the issue of the meeting of targets specifically on research, but one of the key risks identified in us losing most of our cases in court was the issue of poor research. We've gone through provincial reviews of the baseline of research, and that has basically led to a research summit that was held earlier this year. We have identified the key risk areas and challenges specifically faced in achieving the research targets within the research value chain, and we've put mechanisms in place to support both the internal researchers in the commission and to improve the product that comes from the external researchers appointed by the commission. Some of the steps that we have put in place include the appointment of 4 permanent officials within the commission that will support provinces and also create that link in mitigating the risk between the external researchers and the communities they engage with. We've also put in place an effective ME tool, so we currently know every single research report or outstanding in South Africa at which stage it is. We also have improved project management meetings that we put in place and project management over this whole initiative. And we are also glad to say of most of the research is currently in the process of being finalized. Chairperson, I must also mention that there will be a specific figure that will be coming out of the research that has not been finalized. That is contributed due to one fact. It's the issue of untraceable claimants that we are dealing with. We are aware that before 1998, when people lodged their claims on manual claim forms, there were no assistance provided. So I could have come to the office of the commission and I could have written on the claim form that I stay next to the tree, next to the railway line, something like that. So those are the sort of scenarios that we're looking through. We'll be putting in place a process of appointing a tracing agent specifically to support that. I also just want to place emphasis on it. It's not as if we have not been there doing anything on the untraceable claimants. We have a signed MOU with SASA, and we've also been working with Home Affairs in tracing some of those untraceable claimants. It has contributed quite significantly. That's why we have the reduced number of untraceable claimants. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the
Thank you.
an issue. Something is going to happen to that tree. Wanted to be improved. The invitation is a sense of which department or community of would be able to employ for being in the treasury has been taken from one department to another. There is a perception that one department is spending money fast and less than the other. Instead of saying, yes, we are here, we are here, we are here. And they all realize that, by the way, we never gave the money. Now they are not here to take it, they are also the parties, etc. Now this is where we are now. I then send a letter to the by the end of this financial year, we must know we must have nothing to do with it. You see, because sometimes when we subsidize, which we have been doing. And nobody talks about that in terms of nothing has been done. There's no surrender for us.
Yeah.
As if we have the money, we have no money. We just saw that there was a problem of land, which was not in front of us. It's happening even today. There's a lot of land. The town is not going to be able to do it. That's the change. Remember, school? You pass Spluma. Spluma now has been taken away by the presidency. I don't know how they're going to manage Spluma. I've signed it away from 3 months ago. I signed it from years ago. They want Spluma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're going to do with it, but it's now under the CME. They want the
We're trying to work in a manner that so that this is possible for this so we really have the necessary political and societies, both district and local level, to develop the capacity. Because we're not going to work on the capacity. So we are in that process right now. It's a very limited school processing process.
when we have the oversight here, then they said they really just the way to go. And also the 50-50 kind of the catch-up plan implementation. Because there was an indication that the catch-up plan to deal with the challenges of underperformance in the state. So would they be able to just check where it has implemented or not? The information in the late Vice Minister facility, the organizations have agreed to stay the current one to be the future one that is being planned. And also the that when having the oversight with we need to check with the department and just communicate with the officials of the department to get the certain information. What is it that makes them to meet? Maybe another department to meet or whatever. We agree that we have to meet with the Botswana Community and Public Service while the minister will try to get in the other side. I think those are the issues that we have agreed upon. We are waiting for the outstanding information from the Department of Health. I think they have noted what has indicated. But better to say that tomorrow we are having continue the committee meeting. Whether we do a briefing on the 50A amendments, because we have to prioritize the legislation. We have one situation whereby we fast track the legislation at the end of the day, we have been challenged by the court that we have not followed the proper procedures in dealing with the legislation. Tomorrow we will do that presentation. Then we will break for constituency until the end of April, beginning of May. Must be ready, that is why I'm announcing it. We'll be considering the APQs in preparation for the budget. It will be coming on the second of May. Yes, but our constitution will communicate with you. Honorable members, thank you very much. It was a long day, but thank you so much. Minister, thank you so much for being with us from morning until now. I think she will be for my deputy. It's okay. Thank you very much. Let me take the Thank you.